Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Can one powerful question close a sale, engage a team member, or even strengthen your marriage? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here, helping you to achieve your full potential 5 days a week. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about how to build relationships, win new business, and influence others. But first, don't forget to visit leadx.org, where you'll find hundreds of articles from the best business and career writers out there. leadx.org. Our guest today has written 8 best-selling books on how to develop enduring professional relationships. You may have also read his work in the New York Times, Business Week, Harvard Business Review, or seen him on numerous television shows. Today, we'll be talking about his book, Power Questions: Build Relationships, Win New Business, and Influence Others. Our guest is Andrew Sobel. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Delighted to be here.
Delighted to have you. And we're going to dive into power questions in just a minute. But first, will you share with our listeners a time when you actually failed, you know, maybe early in your career, and what did you learn from it?
Sure. Well, let's see. There's a lot of stories to choose from, Kevin. So let me pull out one from maybe earlier in my career when I was a fairly new partner in my old consulting firm, Gemini Consulting. And I remember I had an opportunity to go up to Denver to the old US West, you know, which was one of the baby bells after the AT&T breakup. And I had an opportunity to go up there and present to a group of pretty senior executives about, you know, what my firm could do to help them. And we had done a lot of work with telcos. At that time, my firm had a huge presence in the telecommunications business. And so I went up with a couple other colleagues and a pack of about 50 slides. And I actually think they were view graphs. They were actually color view graphs, right? So this is a while ago, you know, a little bit after the Civil War. And I remember getting in front of them and saying, well, let us tell you about, you know, our telecommunications practice. And there were about 5 pretty senior people sitting around the table. And we presented at them for 45 minutes. I kid you not. And we were so proud of all that experience and all that expertise. And I just knew we were blowing them away with the fact that we had worked for, you know, Southwest Bell and for Bell Atlantic and so on. And just went on and on. At the end, after 45 minutes, they looked up at us and said, okay, well, thanks. And they packed up their stuff and left the room.
Oh, boy.
I had not asked them a single question. We had not engaged with them on any level. We knew nothing about their issues. And so, look, an amateur mistake, but what I learned is a couple things. First, in a first meeting, connecting with the other person, building rapport and trust are utterly critical. And of course, you know, there are many ways of building rapport. You do it through finding commonalities. You do it by being interested in them and asking questions. You do it by being enthusiastic and at ease. So show your expertise, but balance that with just connecting them and learning about their issues. And the second, though, big learning, and this is now a principle of mine, great relationships are based on great conversations, not one person showing the other how smart they are. Mm. And so, you form great relationships through a series of conversations, not by showing them how much you know, how clever you are, how smart you are. That actually turns people off.
So, Andrew, this is a follow-up to that. Because, I mean, look, you are the expert, the guru on using powerful questions, on creating these deep conversations. You say you didn't do it at all way back, you know, in the day when you were starting. So how did you discover the power of questions? Did you have a mentor or somebody that said, all right, Andrew, this is a better way you could have run that meeting?
You know, I was one of these people that overvalued expertise and the rational side of things, I think, like a lot of people in business. It basically came to me when I wrote my very first book, Clients for Life. And for that book, I interviewed a large number of CEOs and C-suite executives about their most trusted advisors. And one of the common refrains was, you know, the person who is my trusted advisor, they are a great listener. They ask great questions. And that led me to a sort of paradigm shift, which is, you know, I call it the expert versus the advisor mindset. So experts like to tell, advisors ask great questions and listen. Now, obviously, advisors also do advising. You have expertise, but you understand it's a shift from I'm here to tell you about how smart I am and how much I know about this area versus I'm here to build a relationship with you, learn about your toughest issues, and then add value to those issues using my expertise.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah. So that's what I learned writing my first book. But to be honest, it took me a number of years to really develop the concept and to realize how powerful questions are. And in fact, since I wrote the book, which is with Jerry Panis about 4 or 5 years ago, I've used the material a lot and I've discovered a lot more things. But power questions, you know, they are a little different than sort of ordinary questions.
Yeah, and I was going to ask about that. And before we dive in, Andrew, I just wanted to, you know, mention to the listeners out there, you know, the book Power Questions. Listeners, you hear me talk to an author a day almost, and literally Power Questions is one of my favorite books of the last 5 years. It is so practical that you literally get word for word questions and how and when to use them. And I've literally taken these questions and used them in a variety of situations. So Andrew, before we dive in, I just wanted to really underscore the importance of this material to our audience. And as you were saying, you know, the power questions are different from other questions. So tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, just briefly. So power questions shift the conversation to the other person, to their interests, their needs, their thoughts. It might simply be, so Kevin, what do you think? Or Kevin, what options are you considering? The other thing I like about power questions is that they often get you focused on the right issue, and in particular on the issue that the other person wants to discuss, you know, whether that's a client, your boss, or a colleague. So, you know, sometimes I'll start a meeting saying, what's the most important thing we should be talking about this morning? Or from your perspective, what's the most valuable way to use this time? You know, sometimes a potential client calls me up and it's a, you know, there's no real clear agenda. They just want to talk to me, learn a bit about what I do. And I'll say, look, we've got half an hour. From your perspective, what's the most valuable way to use this time? This focuses it on the other person. And then their energy level, their enthusiasm is triple, you know, because they're talking about what they want to focus on, not what you're trying to focus on. You know, sometimes a power question is a why question. In other words, you're trying to get to the root cause of something, to the higher level objective. So, you know, why are you launching this program now? You know, why did you choose this particular option? You know, there's a great quote from Mark Twain that gets at this, which I love. And he said, the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. You know, so and then finally, look, and I think you mentioned to me that you've used this question. Power questions enable you to connect on a very personal level and just learn about the other person. And one I love is just, so how did you get your start? You know, you've been in this business for 25 years. How'd you get your start? That's an invitation for someone to tell their story. And we love telling our stories.
Andrew, and that question I have used over and over again. And the first time that you came to my rescue, we had actually met, you know, briefly in New York, and I, you know, read your book, and so it was on fresh on my mind. And I flew into Boston for a speaking engagement, got in the car, and thought we were going to go, but it turns out they were waiting for the other keynote speaker to, we were going to share a ride.
Uh-huh.
And so then I, on my phone, killing the time, I looked up who it was, and I see it's this very esteemed physician from Harvard and Ivy League background. I'm a state college kind of guy. He's got big institution experience, a little bit older than me. I'm the scrappy startup entrepreneur. And I started to sort of panic, like, and I'm dressed in jeans and a t-shirt. And of course, he did show up in a suit and tie, even though he was traveling. And I was very intimidated, right? And gets in the car, and it was a little bit tense. We just didn't have a lot in common, even though we were speaking at the same event. And I just, the first question, so tell me, how did you get started? And that 20-minute taxi ride or car ride to the hotel, he spoke the whole time answering that one question. And I would ask some clarifying questions. And we both thoroughly enjoyed the ride and our time together. And it really broke the ice. And I've used that over and over again since then.
Yeah. Yeah. People love telling their story.
That's great. Now, I know you also make a distinction about rational versus emotional questions. So how are those questions different?
Sure. So most of us ask what I call rational questions, and that might be as simple as, so Kevin, what are your top three priorities for this year in developing and growing your business? Let me sort of highlight the difference with a very quick story. I was at a presentation by a CEO to his top 100 leaders a few years ago. It was kind of a year-end conference, and I had given a talk that morning, and they asked me to sit in on Tim's the CEO speech. Tim gave this about 30-minute presentation, went through some slides, and then he said to the group, any questions? And people began raising their hands and saying, Tim, could you go back to slide number 17 and talk about the reserves that we made? And you know, Tim, could you go back to slide 18 and talk about why we decided to go to a shared services model? You know, some people are still concerned about this. And it just picayune questions, right, about details. And at the end, I raised my hand. And Tim, who I didn't know very well, said, Andrew, do you have a question? And I said, sure. Tim, I'm curious. Of all the initiatives you have going on in the corporation right now, what are you personally most excited about? And he just stopped dead. You know, he smiled, stood up tall, and waxed on for 5 minutes about a very special initiative that he was personally very passionate about and involved with, that he had not even mentioned it when he went through the slides.
Wow.
And afterwards, afterwards, he came up to me in the crowd. We were all leaving, and literally, I was walking. He slapped me on the back, and I looked at, and there's this big, tall guy. He's much taller than me, about 6'7", with his sort of handlers. And he said, "Thank you for that question. Very revealing question." And then as he walked off, he turned around again and pointed his hand at me and said, "Give me a ring." You know. So, and that actually became my sort of ticket to building a relationship with him.
Wow.
And we connected. So, you know, emotional questions get at things like legacy, dreams, aspirations, fears, risks, as opposed to the more rational side. So it's the difference between what are your top three priorities and, you know, what initiative are you personally involved with that you're really excited about?
This is incredible. And Andrew, as you're telling your story and explaining that, I mean, it's making me remember the best people that I've encountered. Rudy Carson is a guy who bought one of my earlier companies. And when we met the first time, I had met some of his other officers, but when he and I met, I expected to get the rational questions. You know, what's your strategic plan for this year? Where do you see the synergies between our companies? And the first question he said is, Kevin, what are your dreams? And it took me, I mean, it shocked me. It took me a few seconds to sort of respond because it was such an unusual question. But similar to your story, we then talked for an hour about our dreams and then shook hands on a deal, even though we hadn't spoken about the deal.
Yeah.
Really amazing impact.
Exactly. Because you're connecting, you know, and to some extent to the right brain. You're connecting to their heart. And those are the things that move us. You know, the old adage, facts tell, emotions sell. Yeah, any salesman knows that truism.
So, Andrew, among our listeners, we have a lot of managers, first-time managers, mid-career managers. What questions can they use to coach or mentor their own team members?
Sure. Well, if you think about it, there are different roles you play as a mentor or coach, of course. And I think the first thing you need to do is establish trust with the person. And in fact, we've been, for a program I'm developing for young professionals, we've been interviewing a lot of millennials on this subject. And, you know, one of the topics that comes up a lot is, well, you know, the first thing a mentor has to do is establish trust with me. I need to trust them. You know, and of course, you establish trust first by connecting, by demonstrating that you have their best interests in mind, that you're there for them, that you're not working any agenda yourself. And so, you know, often I start with the question, how can I be of greatest help to you in our relationship? How can I be helpful to you right now?
That's great.
Another version is, what questions are you grappling with now that I can help you with? I also like to get to know the person personally, and that goes back to some of our other questions about, you know, when you're not shaking things up here in the office, what do you do on your weekends? Tell me about your last vacation. What are you doing outside of work that you're excited about? You know, maybe they play guitar. Maybe they are a runner. Who knows? There's another question that we write about in Power Questions, actually, which Steve Jobs used to use with his engineers all the time, which is this the best you can do? So, you know, there's a lot of stories behind this. Henry Kissinger also used this with his staff. Is this the best you can do? And obviously, you need to be careful because you can drive someone, to madness, pushing them. But, you know, if somebody hands you a report or an analysis, you might say, is this the best you and your team can do right now? And they might say, it's absolutely the best. Or they might say, well, look, let us work on it a little more. You know, this is a question, again, you got to be careful with it, but it is a question that some pretty famous, brilliant, demanding bosses use to get the absolute best out of the people who work for them.
I love that question. And it also opens up potentially to follow-ups in terms of if it's not the best that they could do, well, why? Did they not have enough time? Did they not have enough resources?
Right.
So it really could lead to some interesting conversations in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And then how can I help you? It's something I always try to drive towards. And I learned this from my old boss, Jim Kelly at Gemini Consulting, who was the founder of the company that we sold to them. And Jim, you know, everybody, as CEO, everybody would go to him, I noticed, with problems, with complaints, with big situations. And he always would listen very carefully. And often his response was a question. He had two questions. Is there something that I can do right now to help you? Or another one was simply, is there a decision that you need from me?
That's great.
And those two questions actually pretty much handled most of his conversations.
I think those could be staples in everybody's, in all the managers, like weekly coaching one-on-ones, you know, with their team members,
yeah.
Because then at least once a week, you're doing that check-in and you're not standing in anybody's way.
Yeah. One or two others I like to ask people that I'm mentoring or coaching, you know, one of them is just what's getting in the way of your work.
Mm.
And in large organizations, Kevin, of course, you know this better than anyone else. Often there's lots of stuff getting in the way.
Yeah.
Whether it's bureaucracy or it's somebody that's not sharing information or whatever. But, you know, is there anything getting in the way of this project? Anything getting in the way of your work? And I think that's a nice question to sort of draw people out. Another question I ask sometimes to an executive is, I'm curious, what parts of your work do you wish you could spend more time on? And which parts do you wish you could spend less time on?
Oh, yeah.
You get a really interesting discussion that evolves from that because you start to find out, you know, how could that person actually be even more effective? What are the strategic parts of their job that they really do need to spend more time on? What are the less value-added things that are dragging them down? So that's a question you could ask a very senior executive and have a very interesting conversation. You could also ask, you know, someone who's starting out in their job.
Now, Andrew, before we wrap up, I always like to challenge our listeners to get just a little bit better every single day. So do you have something we could try out, we could experiment with today?
Sure. Very simple prescription. Prepare three good, thoughtful questions for every meeting you go to.
Mm.
Whether it's an internal meeting about a project that you're working on, a meeting with your boss about something, a meeting with a client or a customer. Just spend more time preparing three questions and less time, you know, working on those PowerPoint slides. You know, seriously, less time worrying about whether, you know, you can fit another sentence onto the slide. And you only need three questions. And if they're good, you're probably not even going to get to number three. You might only get to number one and two. Because then you'll have follow-up questions and you'll have a great conversation.
We've come full circle to the slides.
Yeah, exactly.
Andrew, what's the best way our listeners can find out more about you and your work?
You know, the best way, Kevin, is obviously get a copy of Power Questions. It's on Amazon in all formats, including audiobook. And also, I have a lot of resources on my website about building relationships and using questions. AndrewSobel.com, pretty simple, my name. And there's actually a section called Power Question Tools, where I have some special videos that I created about power questions, some lists of questions. So there's actually a lot of free material there as well.
Well, I'm sure our listeners are going to check all of the free materials out, and I encourage them to go grab a copy of Power Questions. Friends, your coach for the day has been Andrew Sobel. Check out his book on Amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. And of course, you can get the links and notes from this interview at leadx.org. And listeners, one last thing. Do you want to join the LeadX Ambassador Group on Facebook? That's where we do our monthly giveaways, Q&A sessions with our authors and guests, and give away lots of books and have a lot of fun. Just leave an honest review up on iTunes and let me know at kevin@leadx.org, and we'll invite you into that ambassador program. So until next time, remember, leadership isn't about a title, of course, or power or authority. Leadership is influence. We are all leaders. The question is, who are you going to lead today?